Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Shattered Innocence. Do another Bible study. This time we'll start Genesis chapter 1. We're just doing verses 1 and 2. We know that there is one true God who made the heavens and the earth. A lot of people want to fight about that and think that there's different ways that the world was created, but that's true. Let's read the commentary on Genesis 1, a plain and full account of the creation of the world. An answer to that first inquiry, where is God, my maker? Concerning this, the pagan philosophers wretchedly blundered. Some assert the world's eternity and self-existence. Ascribe an end to a fortuitous concourse of axioms, like they're trying to say the Big Bang Theory, and we know better than that. The world by wisdom knew, not God, but took a great deal of pains to loathe him. The Holy Scripture, by revealed religion days, lays down at first this principle, that this world was, in the beginning of time, created I am being of infinite wisdom and power, who was himself before all time and all worlds. The first verse of the Bible gives us a sure and better, a more satisfying and useful knowledge of the origin of the universe than all the volumes of the philosophers. We have three things in this chapter. Number one, a general idea given as of the work of creation, going by verses 1 and 2. The second theme in this chapter is the particular account of the several days' work registered as in journal, distinctly and in order. The review and approbation of the whole work, verse 31. So let's now go. I'll read the King James Version, and then I'll read. Okay, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, in Joyce Meyer's Bible, it's got Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. So now let's go over these verses. The work of the creation and its epitome and its embryo. In its epitome, verse 1, where we find the first article of our creed, that God the Father Almighty is the maker of heaven and earth. Observe in this verse four things. Number 1, the effect produced, the whole frame and furniture of the universe. The world is a great house consisting of upper and lower stories. The structure, stately and magnificent, uniform and convenient, and every room well and wisely furnished. The heavens are not only beautiful to our eye with glorious lamps which garnish its outside, of whose creation we here read, but they are within replenished with glorious beings out of our sight. In the visible world, it is easy to observe great variety, several sorts of beings, vastly different in their nature and constitution from each other. Great beauty, the azure sky, and the verdant earth are charming to the eye of the curious spectator. How transcendent, then, must the beauty of the Creator be? Great exactness and accuracy to those that, with the help of microscopes, rarely look into the works of nature. They appear far more fine than any other works of art. Great power. It is not a love of dead and inactive matter. The earth itself has a magnetic power. Great order, a mutual dependence of beings, an exact harmony of motions, and an admirable chain and connection of causes. Great mystery, there are phenomena and nature which cannot be solved. But from what we see of heaven and earth, we may infer the eternal power of Godhead, of the great Creator. Our duty is heaven in our eyes and earth under our feet. Number two, the author and cause of this great work, God. The Hebrew word is Elohim, which bespeaks the power of God the Creator. El signifies the strong God, and what less than almighty strength to bring all things out of nothing? The plurality of persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. This plural name of God in Hebrew would speak to him as many though he is one, confirming our faith in the doctrine of the Trinity, which though but darkly intimated in the Old Testament, is clearly revealed in the New. We are often told that the world was made by him and nothing made without him. So let's go to John chapter 1, verse 3. I got it written down. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we'll go ahead and go to the next verse. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I went ahead and read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So now John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Then in Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created for him and by him. Excuse me. Sorry about the turning of page noise. Now we go into Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Hath in thee last day spoken unto us by his Son, and he hath appointed him of all things. He hath appointed, excuse me, let me go all over again. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Amen. So that we go to the manner in which this work was effected, God created it. That is, he made it out of nothing. There was not any pre-existent matter out of which the world was produced. No artificer can work unless he has something to work on. But by the almighty power of God, it's not only possible that something should be made of nothing. The God of nature is not subject to the laws of nature. But in the creation, it is impossible it should be otherwise, for nothing is more injurious to the honor of the eternal mind than its opposition of the eternal matter. When the work was produced in the beginning, that is, in the beginning of time, when that clock was first set a-going, time began with the production of those beings that are measured by time. Before the beginning of time, there was none but that infinite being that inhabits eternity. But to us, it is enough to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word... Let us learn hence that atheism is folly. And atheists are the greatest fools of nature, for they see there is a world that did not make itself, and yet they will not own there is a God that made it. Number two, that God is the sovereign Lord of all by incontestable right. Three, that with God all things are possible, and therefore happy are the people that have him for their God, and those help and hope stand in his name. We go to Psalm chapter 121, verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, that maker of heaven and earth. Then we go to Psalms 124, verse 8. Our help is in the Lord. In the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord. So we need to be sure to call out to his name. Glory to his name. That the God we serve is worthy of our blessing and praise. It says in Nehemiah 9, verses 5 and 6. That is, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. Thou even, thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the sea, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. The work of all creation in its embryo, where we have an account of the first matter and the first mover. A chaos was first matter. It is here called the earth. It's also called the deep because its vastness and because the waters, which were afterwards separated from the earth, were now mixed with it. The Creator couldn't have made his work perfect at first, but by this gradual proceeding, he would show what is ordinarily the method of his providence and grace. Observe the description of this chaos. There was nothing in its desirable to be seen, for it was without form and void, tohu and bohu, confusion and emptiness. So these words are rendered. To those who have their hearts in heaven, this lower world, in comparison with that upper, still appears to be nothing but confusion and emptiness. If there's been anything desirable to be seen, yet there was no light to see it by. For darkness, deep darkness, was upon the face of the deep. This chaos represents the state of a degenerate, graceless soul. There is disorder, confusion, and every evil work. It is empty of all good, for it is without God. It is dark till Almighty grace affects its blessed shape. The Spirit of God was the first mover. He moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God begins to work. And if he works, who or what shall hinder? God is said to make the world by his Spirit. Psalm 33, verse 6. Job 26, verse 13. And by the same mighty worker, the new creation is effected. He moved upon the face of the deep. God is not only the author of all being, but the fountain of life, the spring of motion. Dead matter would be forever dead if he did not quicken it. And this makes it credible to us that God can raise the dead. Well, thanks for coming, everyone. Thanks for being here. We appreciate you for coming to study. We appreciate your listens. Please get this word out there so that we can be sure to show people that God is God. God is the true God. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. He deserves our glory and our praise. Praise be to his name. Y'all have a wonderful day, and God bless y'all.